Michelle Franz and House Republicans questioning President Biden's brother James Biden today in a closed-door meeting related to the impeachment inquiry. That testimony comes as the special counsel investigating Hunter Biden charged accused Russian asset Alexander Smirnov, who's also a FBI informant, with lying to the FBI about President Biden and his son's overseas business dealings. ABC's Catherine Falder says more.
This FBI informant has been indicted for peddling what could be Russian disinformation about President Joe Biden here. So it undercuts their whole entire probe. The question is whether Republicans concede on any of this and how they move forward with their impeachment inquiry.
The U.S. ambassador to Russia has visited Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerskovich in Moscow and says he appears in good health. The American journalist has been detained in Russia for nearly a year, accused of spying. And the threat of flooding and mudslides continue in Southern California due to back-to-back storms. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Republican prosecutor is asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court to rule on the state's abortion law. Sheboygan County District Attorney Joel Ermansky is appealing a Madison judge's ruling that Wisconsin's law bans feticide but not elective abortion. Ermansky says he wants the high court to take the case directly. After months of speculation, Republican Eric Hovde is officially in the race for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin. He made his campaign announcement yesterday on social media.
Everything is going in the wrong direction. All Washington does is divide us and talk about who's to blame. And nothing gets done. That's not the country I know and love.
Wisconsin is a key swing state, and the winner here could decide the balance of power in the Senate. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For news from the Center, WRCE, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The superintendent of DeSoto Schools is retiring at the end of the school year. Lindsay Groning said she is timing the retirement with her daughter's graduation from high school. Groning has worked in DeSoto since 2012 as a principal and superintendent. Recently, the district dealt with controversy over placing an elementary school principal on administrative leave over policy and procedural violations. But the school board decided instead to non-renew the principal's contract for next year. There were only three primaries in southwestern Wisconsin yesterday. In Sauk County, Scott Hogan and Scott Alexander advanced to face each other this spring for District 27 County Supervisor, an area that represents the northwest side of Baraboo. Boscobel City Council District 1 will pair Cody Trump against Ramona Cord, while Seneca's school board race had a tie for the fourth and final spot on the spring ballot. All results from last night's primary are unofficial until after canvassing. The National Weather Service says we could have near-record temperatures today, highs in the upper 50s to lower 60s. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuss.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jam from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jam.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people gonna say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Brewers expect to win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. That's what Brewers owner Mark Antanasio told reporters at the team's spring training camp in Arizona. Despite releasing several veterans and trading Corbin Burns to Baltimore, the Brewers owner says he has an expectation to win this year. He went on to say there's no deal finalized yet to re-sign Brandon Woodruff to a two-year contract. College hoops, number 7th-ranked Marquette will play their next three games at home, beginning tonight against DePaul. The Golden Eagles have played 6 of their last 8 on the road. The Badgers got a win over Maryland in Madison. The final 74-70, thanks to efficient shots from the foul line, 28 of 31. Green Bay Packer A.J. Dillon was at the game courtside.
Hey, it's been awesome. It's always great coming down to Madtown. My wife is an alum. My sister-in-law is a cheerleader. So we're repping Wisconsin cheerleading and the basketball team today. It's great to come down and show support.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Thank you.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Bright, beautiful, and way too warm for February as highs soar to the upper 50s and flirt with nearly 60 degrees today. Another mild day on repeat for tomorrow, too, as highs climb to the mid-50s. But get ready for Friday. We get hit with a cool down. It's 56 degrees at our studios.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
Live from the WBZH studios in downtown Hayward, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh here in Hayward, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers at the worldwide headquarters in downtown Madison. It is Wednesday, the 21st of February, 2024, 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Good afternoon to each and every one of you. On a beautiful afternoon. There you go. The camel is with us here in beautiful Hayward. It's amazing how that camel travels with us each and every Wednesday, Mr. Zommers. But it's always good to have him here.
Yeah, you know, I think he feels most at home in the Northwoods.
You don't see a lot of camels in the Northwoods, as it turns out. But we are here to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the American Birkenbeiner Ski Race. It is a wonderful celebration here in northern Wisconsin. We're going to be here for today, tomorrow, and Friday. And, of course, special coverage on Saturday morning from 9 until 11 on the Jim Santel Show. We have Gray and Big G with live reports all day Saturday here from the Northwoods. And right now, joining us, one of our fantastic colleagues, the wonderful Terry Barr, who does our intros each and every day. Terry joins us via phone. Terry Barr, thank you so much for joining us on a special 50th anniversary of the American Birkenbeiner.
Hello, Todd and Aaron. Thank you for inviting me to join you.
Well, thank you for taking the time out of your very busy day, Terry. I really appreciate it. But you've done these slice of history on Civic Media. You always bring us something interesting, something fascinating. We played the one that you've done for the American Birkenbeiner. We played that American slice, or that Wisconsin slice of history, in the first hour. How do you put these things together, first of all? Because you do a remarkable job, and is it just a lot of fun to do these?
Oh, my gosh. It is so much fun. You know, my background really is news, journalism news. And what this is doing for me is that it's kind of allowing me to go back to my roots of radio, but, again, doing these really fun stories. The research is incredible. And when you dig into something like Birkenbeiner and you find out how the history of it from another country lands in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, you just know this story has to be told. And then you realize it's 50 years of the Berkey in the Northwoods. Mm-hmm. Isn't that exciting? Mm-hmm.
It is. It's super. And people are pumped, even though the weather is not cooperating necessarily. The spirit is fantastic. We have Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, on in the first hour talking about El Nino. And, of course, instead of going from Cable to Hayward this year, they're doing a 10-kilometer loop or 10-kilometer-ish loop up in Cable. So all the actual skiing will be about 20 miles north of here in Cable. They're making snow and literally trucking it in. But I went down, downtown here where a student videos are. I got pizza at Angler's Bar and Grill, and people, it was full. Oh. People were in a good mood. The spirit, and really, Terry, in your reporting, isn't that what these things are about in Wisconsin? It's about celebrating the Wisconsin spirit.
Absolutely. And I think that's why I find these so important and at the same time so much fun, because it's a great way to learn about our history, where we have come from, where we're going, and then to just give it a little, you know, kick on the side, too. You know, things like that area, 2,000 people normally. But when the Berkey comes around, there's 30,000 people there. I don't know what the population, we kind of laughed about that. We called it the population for a week there. I don't know what it'll be this year, but I assume, you know, people made these plans. They're excited. And okay, maybe this isn't the traditional Wisconsin weather they're used to, but I bet they're enjoying this no matter what. Oh, it's just terrific.
No, it really is. And we you know, we said last hour, I mean, the local Lions Club is doing a food stand starting tomorrow morning, and all these local community things. People work on this all year around, right? I mean, basically 2 weeks after this one gets done, they'll start planning for the next one. It is a whole year of planning. The entire community is involved, and there's economic and really, I mean, think about this, Terry, you know this. The lack of helping the economy because of the weather from people that do like tourism and snowmobiling, and those people are hurting. So a thing like this can really help the economy as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I always think about my own family. I've heard you talk about your family. You and I both grew up in smaller Wisconsin towns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm thinking about my brothers who still live very near where we grew up. They both have snowmobiles in their sheds. I don't think those snowmobiles have been out the last couple of years. And as I was driving today, I noticed the guy. You know, remember the good old snow fences they used to put up so the snow didn't blow across the road? They're already taking those down in the rural part of Wisconsin where I am right now. And I thought, wait a minute, it's really only the middle of February. What if we still need those? But apparently they're thinking, no, nope, we're going to take them down now when the weather's like 50 degrees.
Well, I know over in the Twin Cities over across the river here in Minneapolis and also in Eau Claire, they closed the outdoor the skating rinks like 3 weeks ago for the season.
Oh my goodness.
I know. It's just crazy.
It's a different year for sure, but I'm so happy to see something like the Berkey go on. And you mentioned how it gets done. They start planning for the next year. But maybe what you don't know, and I only recently learned this for my research for this latest Slice of Wisconsin, this is now going to be a year-round event. They have bike races in the summer. They also do a couple of 5K runs and walks. They're trying to make it a more attractive event all year just based on what could happen with our winters. So I give them full kudos for trying to really branch out on this.
That's great information, Terry. And you're absolutely right. They are making it more diverse in terms of activities so they can kind of accommodate changing weather. Anything else that you learned in your research or preparing for the Slice of Wisconsin history for the Birkenbeiner you think that maybe didn't make the cut in the actual piece, but things that you think are interesting?
Well, I know I say a little section where I ask listeners, do you know where this started and what it is actually celebrating? And it's Norway. Norway has been doing its own Birkebeiner for more than 100 years. And the gentleman who started the Birkebeiner in the Hayward area said, oh my gosh, this is perfect. This reminds me of Norway. Let's start a Birkebeiner. And so that's kind of how that came over here with this gentleman who was in Norway, came to northern Wisconsin, started slow. The very first race, there were only like a dozen people, and there wasn't an actual track for them to run like they would normally have in their marathon on the snow. So they just kind of waded through, you know, hip-deep snow, had fun with it, and then said, huh, we could do this every year. And there you go.
Look at that. A wealth of knowledge, Terry Barr is. I mean, I'm cheating because I talked to some people, but I also pulled it up. And this kind of dates back all the way to 1206 when Norway was in the Civil War, and these Birkebeiner skiers were wearing birch bark leggings, and they skied around. And they were trying to save the future king of Norway, this little kid, who ended up surviving all this, as legend goes. And it became, I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, Håkon Håkansson IV and forever changed Northern Europe's history by his reign. And so there's a picture of that and everything, and that was what Norway used back in 1932. And as you said, Tony Weiss, the late now Tony Weiss, started this whole thing in 1973, based on that. I mean, how cool is all that lore? Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? And sometimes I think when you talk to people about our state, and I know you and I both love Wisconsin, I've lived other places, but I was thrilled to come back home. And when you tell other people, you know, the questions you get, oh, Lambeau Field, oh, do you have snow year round? You know, those kinds of questions.
Right.
But then when we actually get this opportunity to dig in and share these other things, I think it just makes me appreciate where we live even more, and I love being able to share that information with everyone else.
Well, you do a great job. A couple of minutes left here in this segment. If people have not grown up or not from South Central Wisconsin, you might not have heard of Terry Barr, and I feel bad for you because I've watched you on Channel 3. I've listened to you on the radio. Nobody does it better than Terry Barr. We're so fortunate to have you. I'm so fortunate to work with you. The question I have, did you ever cover the Burke and Binder when you were doing reporting?
Indeed, yes, twice actually.
Really?
I worked at Channel 7 in Wausau, WSAW-TV in Wausau, and we covered it when I worked there. And then when I went on to Green Bay, we covered it there as well, and we had a couple of local racers from Green Bay that we were tracking. So we told the story that way, along with the economy and all the visitors from all around the world. But we focused on our local folks that were in the race. So, yep, I've been there twice.
What's your biggest takeaway, Terry? Someone who's actually covered it and watched this thing after you've done it a couple of times, what memories do you personally have of covering the Burke and Binder?
You know, it's a little bit like covering EAA. You know, an EAA gets 150,000 people.
Yep.
So this is a smaller scale EAA, but again, people coming from all over the world to partake in the event. But what I loved was listening to people talking to each other, either about the city or about the event, or where are we going to go get our food tonight, or what activities are going on. I love that. And it's not just, you know, I'm with my group and I'm not venturing out of my group. Oh no, everybody is friends by the end of the whole event and the whole weekend. And I know people stay in touch too. They are now new long-term friends.
Isn't that cool? I went down, I did a little grocery shopping at the local market here in Hayward, and then got some pizza at Angler's Bar and Grill, and there were guys, you know, talking in clearly Scandinavian, speaking English, but speaking in very thick Scandinavian accents, buying organic food, and I thought, this is fantastic. See, I've arrived at an international event in a little old Hayward, Wisconsin. That's what it's all about.
Isn't it fun? I could sit there and listen to them talk all day. Yeah.
Me too. How cool are Scandinavian accents?
That way.
Right?
Sexy.
I'm just going to ask one to stop by the studio. I don't care what we talk about. They can read out of the phone book as long as they're with that accent, you know?
Todd, I think you have a bit. There you go.
Terry Barr, you are fantastic. We appreciate all the work you do for our show and announcing and other things. You're great reporting for Civic Media. And, of course, you're part of the fantastic Max Inc. radio group every Saturday night and now on Sundays as well. So you're an all-around fantastic broadcaster.
Oh, Todd, you are so kind. And as you know, I messaged both you and Aaron last night, and I said I was listening to your show as I was driving across the state, and I could not have enjoyed your company more, and I was able to listen because of Civic Media and its statewide radio network. So thank you, and keep up the great stuff you're bringing to us as well.
Thank you, Terry Barr. You're a big part of it. Terry Barr, ladies and gentlemen, back with more from Hayward after this on the Civic Media Radio Network for the 50th annual Burke and Binder.
News from the Center, WRCE.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Tom Allball, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tom Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm not sure what it is, Mr. Sommers. This cold just will not leave me completely, and I did not get a lot of sleep last night, and it's not because I was out partying all late last night. I was setting up this our set here, and I had a lot of fun doing it, but did not get a lot of sleep. And then I did the morning show with or for Pat Kreitlow, and my voice isn't quite used to that, so I think I'm just going to have to lay low today and let it rest a little bit. So I apologize for the gravelly voice.
Drink some hot liquids and communicate by text.
I have some hot lemon and honey right here. And by Wonderful. The way, as David Lemmer likes to say, whenever you hear or see me, your Civic Media host, enjoy a beverage. It's a great opportunity for you, the home listener and the home viewer, to enjoy a beverage as well. So just excuse me for a second.
And your sister, Heather, has commented on Facebook saying, honestly, you look like Brent Musburger covering the Winter Olympics in Norway. Fantastic job as always. The presentation.
Well, thank you.
Chef's kiss.
Well, she is my biggest fan. And I appreciate that. So, see, I'm one of these nerdy people that when I watch the Olympics or these sorts of things, I'm watching as much for the set design and everything else as I am for the sport. As I said before, I'm a media person who is nothing but fascinated by media.
Yeah, I feel that. So, that's how I am anytime I go see a concert or something. Like during the Super Bowl, everyone's watching the halftime show. And for me, during the Usher halftime show, anytime we got a glimpse at the people's instruments, I was like, all right, what are they playing? And right? I actually spotted like the keyboard and synthesizer player. I was like, huh, I don't recognize that one. It looks like it's a Moog, but I don't think it's one they have yet. And I looked and it turns out it's an unreleased model that they had a beta version of.
Really?
I was like, wow. I am too much of a nerd. This is, I feel bad.
And you were supposed to be watching Usher on roller skates, for goodness sake.
Yeah, I mean, I did. I can't help.
Right.
I can't help it.
I get it. No, I was up here, what was it, 3 weeks ago or so, a month ago, and we were scouting, we did a show up here and kind of scouted it out. And so I thought, well, I'll set up like I am for those watching on the stream. We have a little glimpse of our window right here in the studio that looks right out onto the street, a half a block off Main Street. And I thought, well, this will be spectacular because, well, I'm part of the window in the shot and it should be snowing by then. It'll be winter-esque. It will look like the Winter Olympics, right? And I just saw a guy go by in shorts. So, I mean, that's the best laid plans, right? Right now, and let me check. Well, yeah. Well, no, it's not a total washout. I mean, they're still having it. And as Terry Barr said, you know, it's the spirit of the thing.
Right,
and people are still
exactly.
having a lot of fun. But this, I'm looking. You want to guess the temperature right now in Hayward, Wisconsin?
52.
That's a good guess. 46. It's 46 degrees.
Gross.
In northern Wisconsin. I mean, it's just goofy. But hey, the spirit of the Birkenbeiner is alive and well. They have made snow. They continue to do so in the winter. And again, the track is open for kind of some open skiing today, as many of the athletes are already here in Hayward and the Cable area and northern Wisconsin. Hotel rooms are still tough to get. That's why Toddy's sleeping on the couch, but it's a very comfortable couch. A shout out to Darla here, because we also have a shower here. So I have everything I need. I'm self-contained. I'm just chilling out. I will be here today, tomorrow, and Friday, and looking forward to it. And again, don't forget Jim Santel will also offer coverage. coverage. Our local guys here, Gray and Big G, will give you on the scene location with the person on the street reporting all Saturday morning long on the Jim Santel Show from 9 until 11. So we have all your Birkenbeiner needs covered. A couple of sports scores for you. Wisconsin got a nice win last night over Maryland by a score of 74-70. Marquette takes on DePaul tonight at 8 p.m. So there you go. A little update for you as far as sports goes. And of course, pitchers, speaking of balmy weather, pitchers and catchers report later on this. Well, they're already there in Arizona, but it'll be very interesting as the Brewers kick off their first spring training game. And it's coming up this Saturday. You can hear that on many of the Civic Media radio stations, including WRCE in Southwest Wisconsin. Of course, remember, you cannot listen to the professional sports via the stream, but you can listen to the college sports. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Joe in Madison calling in, talking about the last segment we did there on the University of Wisconsin and the university system, and the fact that President Joe Biden announcing today billions of dollars to help student debt relief. Joe, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, first off, thank you so much for the Terry Barr segment. She is a bright light.
Isn't she great?
Your network. Yeah. Yes, she's a blast. And I noticed that Keith Schwabe is doing little blasts throughout the day, and that's a lot of fun information, too. And I am very much looking forward to James Santel providing Birkenbeiner coverage. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, he'll still be talking law, as he always does, every Saturday morning, the morning cannolis. But he'll be joined by Gray and Big G. They are local radio personalities here in Hayward and Park Falls. And so it'll be law and skiing instead of law and order or something like that.
Perfect. I love it. That's just great. Just great. I wanted to return. One of your callers had been talking about endowments and looking at the endowments that have been grown by various colleges and universities. And I just, in looking at it, I know this has been something that you've gone back to again and again, Todd, wonderfully, is education in the state of Wisconsin, and particularly smaller schools versus University of Wisconsin-Madison. And one of the things I think was really fascinating, and the reason why I called, is just because I think the animals that are, you know, the animal that is the University of Wisconsin-Madison, I mean, it's a big honker that has, I think it's easy to forget sometimes that it is a research university and the amount of money that comes in because it is a research university. I had been very interested in the fact that you said that what's the deal on tuition, and that University of Wisconsin-Madison is anxious to get more people in from not only out of state, out of country, because they're looking at those increase in tuition dollars as helping out their bottom line. So right. I looked at a site. It's called budget.wisc.edu, and it's the budget for the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I just think this one stat is really an interesting one to think about. So here are the top four sources for support for the University of Wisconsin-Madison. 28% is federal dollars coming in. 21% is tuition. So tuition is second behind federal dollars. Third at 18%, okay, 28% federal, 21% tuition, 18% comes in from gifts and grants. So we're talking about, you know, ADM giving money to space science to find out more about weather and how that's going to affect plants, blah, blah, blah. And then coming in at 15% is state revenue, so state dollars that are coming in. Now, here's the interesting thing to me. They had a stat that said that in 1974, 43% of the University of Wisconsin-Madison's budget was supplied by state revenue. Now it is 15%. So from 43% down to 15%. My question would be, Todd, at what point does University of Wisconsin-Madison, this, you know, stellar research place and very accomplished EDU place, what point do they say, okay, we don't care what you say, legislature, we can X out the amount of money that you're, if it's at 15%, at what point do they just say, we'll take in more tuition from students from around the world, you know, out of state, and that'll beef us up. And I'm sure there are political reasons to say we continue to get state dollars, but wow, it's not that much compared to other things. Thanks.
Always a great call, Joe. Thank you so very much. Really, really appreciate it. We'll have more calls. Mark on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We are live in downtown Hayward, Wisconsin for the 50th Annual Birkenbeiner right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans are trying again to cut state income taxes by $2 billion. The state Senate passed a package yesterday that lowers taxes on people earning as much as $150,000 a year. Senate Republican Majority Leader Devin Lemahue.
We still have over $3 billion surplus in Wisconsin that's just sitting there earning interest. It's the taxpayers' money. It's time to give that money back.
Governor Evers vetoed two Republican tax cuts last year. The University of Wisconsin in Madison must now accept all high school graduates from the state who finish in the top 5% of their class. All other state universities have to admit grads in the top 10%. It's part of the deal for state money in exchange for diversity program cuts. Governor Evers signed the bill yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For news from the Center, WRCE, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Today is the first of four elections in the state this year for some Wisconsin residents. The February primary will see a handful of municipal and county primaries across the state, including a mayoral primary in Milwaukee. There are also seven school districts asking referendum questions, totaling just over $219 million. Sauk County has just one primary for a county board position representing the northwest side of Baraboo, while Boscobel has three people running for one spot on city council. Richland, Vernon, and Crawford have no countywide primaries or referendum questions. It's a busy time of year for high school sports. The girls' state basketball tournament begins tonight, where Argyle Pecatonica, New Glarus, and Albany Monticello hold top seeds. The state individual wrestling tournament will get underway on Thursday, with hundreds of wrestlers meeting in Madison this week in the championships. Next week will be the start of the state boys' basketball tournament as well. The National Weather Service has warm temperatures on tap the next few days, with highs reaching the mid-50s. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Never gave without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
With a 60-second showbiz beat. Beyonce? A country music star? Yes, indeed. And if that weren't enough, the genre-hopping singer has the number one song on the country charts called Texas Hold'em. Variety reports that this is the first time a black woman has topped the country music charts. And according to Billboard, she is the only black woman ever to hit number one on both country and the hot R&B hip-hop charts. Other artists who have achieved that feat are Justin Bieber, Billy Ray Cyrus, and Ray Charles. Kind of cool. Fans of the Gilmore Girls have flocked to Amazon to pre-order a copy of The Third Gilmore by Kelly Bishop, who played Emily Gilmore, the family matriarch. She's written a book about her experiences that promises never-before-heard stories. The Gilmore Girls helped put the WB network on the map and helped Bishop move from Broadway to TV. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Bright, beautiful, and way too warm for February as highs soar to the upper 50s and flirt with nearly 60 degrees today. Another mild day on repeat for tomorrow, too, as highs climb to the mid-50s. But get ready for Friday. We get hit with a cool down. Currently, it's 58.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Yeah.
wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tattle Ball Show on location in downtown Hayward, Wisconsin. And our station, our studio is here at WBZH, the Buzz of the North, here in beautiful northern Wisconsin. We are here for the 50th annual Birkebeiner Ski Race. American Birkebeiner Ski Race here. We'll be covering it all week. And, of course, Jim Santel on Saturday morning from 9 until 11 as well. More of the Birkebeiner in a bit. But first of all, I want to continue on this subject that has generated a lot of calls. We always appreciate that. In terms of President Biden, and I said, it's time to start talking about some good news here, right? And President Biden holding a press conference today in Los Angeles, California. It either has happened or is about to happen here since we went on the air, announcing $1.2 billion in student debt relief for nearly 153,000 borrowers. Almost 4 million people now, through dozens of administrative actions since coming to office, have been helped by Joseph R. Biden. And talking about the impacts, Joe from Madison giving us that very interesting detail. What were the numbers again, Mr. Zomers, from what to what percentage of state investment that goes into higher ed in the state of Wisconsin?
I may have these digits too off, but it's something in the vicinity of 43% of their funding down to 15.
15, yeah. 43 to 15% of what state revenue the legislature puts into higher education. Astounding. And remember, as earlier caller reminded us, University of Wisconsin-Madison, a land-grant university. Of course, the Land-Grant Act signed into law by the first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln. How things have changed since those days. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Mark's been holding on the line. We appreciate you standing by, Mark. What say you?
Well, just on a lighter-hearted note, I can remember Arnold Schwarzenegger in the hallways when I went to school at UW-Superior back in the late 70s, that big man, and that it's a shame about the snow up there in North, because I had many pleasurable afternoons and skiing, cross-country skiing back in the trails up there in Patterson State Park in Wisconsin and Jay Cook State Park over in Minnesota. That a lot, some very nice, enjoyable exercise, out when the weather was very cold sometimes. Right. But I mean, this assault on education by the lack of funding is just a complete assault on the truth, which we try to winnow out here on this network. But I was, going through the headlines today, I say where Newt Gingrich, that why he is considered an elder statesman is beyond me, considering he left in disgrace. But right. I mean that he's saying now that the Republicans have to win by at least 5% in order to overcome the voter fraud. And the fact of the matter is that there is virtually no voter fraud across the country. And that in any state, there's been no significant voter fraud at all. Mm-hmm. And the fact that that these sites are willing to promote Newt Gingrich out there as some kind of, elder statesman at this point in time is just befuddling to me. It's kind of disgusting that the site was called the Stock Dork, and I can think emphasis on the latter part of that for Newt Gingrich. But I mean, it is just sad that is even put out there, that he's actually publicize something like that, because the lesser educated are going to see that and say, well, we can just say this and nobody will question it. And the fact of the matter is, it seems to me like Scott Walker wanted to get rid of the Wisconsin idea. And how many of these Republicans that we have now, it's sad, that appreciate ignorance. They do not want us to have a well-educated electorate or well-educated citizenry, which the Wisconsin education system was supposed to do. That's the Wisconsin idea.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mark. A lot to unpack there. Always appreciate your call. Mark from the SAC, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's deal with Newt Gingrich first for a second here. Now, I had the displeasure of meeting the former speaker a couple of times in my political life. And I have to say, in person, at least back in the 90s, when he was somewhat maybe still sane, not a bad guy just to meet. And he was friendly, nice guy. But something happened in the 90s after he became speaker where he just went bonkers And again, here is a guy who was banging an intern on the speaker's desk in the Capitol while he was still married, and then went on to marry this said intern or staffer, and now she's the U.S. ambassador to the Vatican over in Rome. And she's still there and grew up not too far from where we're at here in northwestern Wisconsin. So that tells you a little bit something about Newt Gingrich. He, like other aging Republicans, have an ongoing need to maintain relevance, right? They don't want to be irrelevant in politics or news. They have an obsession with this. Rudy Giuliani, another one of these guys. And so he is spreading these mistruths. Again, we talked about this at the top of the show, right? Fox News, on average, 7 times a day, spreading the lie about Joe and Hunter Biden and Burisma and these alleged bribes. Republicans used it to try to garner these false charges. And it comes out over the past weekend, Department of Justice saying they interviewed the guy who brought these charges, the witness, so to speak, the Smirnoff guy. Totally untrue. Lies. But yet Fox News perpetrates these lies, spreads them 7 times a day for a year. Same thing with Gingrich, what he's trying to do now. This baloney about, well, Republicans have to win by over 5% because, you know, there's election fraud. Mark's absolutely right. There is no significant election fraud out there that anybody can prove where it would have made a difference in the outcome of the election. I've said this before on this program when I worked for former state Senator Dale Schultz during these so-called voter ID bills that turned out to be basically voter suppression. And there were all these charges of, well, Glenn Grothman, when he was a state senator, now a U.S. congressman from Wisconsin, they're bussing people in from Illinois, these Democrats. Where, Glenn? Where? I asked him. He called me on the phone after I was out of government service and had been a key witness for Josh Call in the voter ID case. I said, Glenn, where were these people at? What evidence do you have? And he said, quote, well, we think it's happening, unquote. We think it's happening. They're willing to suppress people's constitutional right to vote because they think it's happening. We conducted, along with my colleague, who is a graduate of the J School, Journalism School at UW-Madison, great reporter, great investigator. He did most of the work. And we found out, in our own investigation, we found 2 cases of voter fraud. One was a Republican staffer in the assembly who voted in Madison and in her hometown up in northern Wisconsin. And the second was the estranged then wife, I think it was wife number 2, of Robin Voss, who had voted in Racine and then went out to her parents' house in Idaho and also voted there. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phone lines. Barbara from Madison on the line, listening on WMDX in Dane County. Barbara, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Hi. I just wanted to quick remind people what kind of man Newt Gingrich was. You know, he's the kind of guy that asked for his wife for a divorce when she was dying of cancer in the hospital. He is not a very nice man, and I don't think he was a very nice politician either, but that's just my opinion. And I just was wondering what your opinion would be on the effects of AI on our voting system. It's kind of scary.
Sure. And, appreciate it. Yeah, like I said, go ahead. I agree. Like I said, I know of these things that happened with Newt Gingrich while he was in Congress, and you're right. I mean, his second wife, Marianne, was dying of cancer at a hospital in Atlanta, or at least in Georgia, and he was already on to the next wife, carrying on in Washington, D.C. As you said, not at the very least, not a very nice guy. And at one time, I thought he basically helped author, it was called The Contract with America, some people call it The Contract on America, in 1994. They helped Republicans take back the House of Representatives. At the time, you could say that he had some political astuteness on messaging. But again, he just, once he became speaker, he just went off the deep end. And now I think he's just a sorry sack looking for relevance. And it's sad, quite frankly, it's sad. In terms of AI and the effect on campaigns and voting, we've covered it on this show. I know some of my civic media colleagues have covered it as well. We'll continue to do so. And I know that Scott Klug, who hosts Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans, a great podcast. You can hear it on the civic media website, the newly redeveloped and relaunched civic media website. It is fantastic. You can also hear Lost in the Middle with Scott Klug every Saturday afternoon from 1 until 2, right after the Cripes cast with Charlie Behrens. Think about it. Charlie Behrens and Scott Klug back to back. And I know that Scott is working on a podcast, a show specifically on AI and talking to experts around the country. And I agree, Barbara. I think it's going to be an issue, or at least certainly the potential to be an issue moving into the elections this fall. And the old saying, you know, I believe it because I saw it with my own eyes, might not always be true moving forward now with AI. Mr. Zomers?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that episode. As listeners probably know, we are helping work on that podcast as well. And I'm definitely excited to see what those experts he's going to talk to are going to say on this subject.
Yeah. I think it just goes down to, again, making sure that the people are registered in advance of the polls and making sure that you're set to go when it comes to voting. And then read, listen to, and watch different news sources and verify the truth. Make sure that, you know, you feel like, yes, I can believe that news source.
At least as best you can.
At least as best you can. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, by the way, before we wrap up on schools here, a number of referenda, and our news director, Terry Bell, and his team were all over it last night. And unfortunately, several of them around the state went down to defeat, not least amongst them, Burlington. And we've talked to this show before. Burlington, of course, right in the heart of Robert Voss's school district. It's his alma mater, for goodness sake. And I have it on good authority from people on the ground in Burlington. They were telling me before this referendum, this vote last night, that if it did not pass, it's a very serious and real possibility that all extracurriculars in Burlington would be cut, including Friday night football, high school football. So we'll see how people like that, if they lose their high school sports and other extracurricular activities. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Invited you to join in here on hour number two of the show. Also text on the Civic Media app. You can download the app on your Apple or Android device. While waiting for calls, I want to move on to this story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We were talking about this yesterday and a couple other times. It stems from the 60 Minutes interview with Anderson Cooper of former Republican chairman Andrew Hitt, who disclosed or said it claimed on 60 Minutes that he was quote-unquote tricked into signing the fake elector ballots. And one of the people, I called her the mule, the voter, the fake voter mule, this young woman who took the ballots, the fake elector ballots from Wisconsin and delivered them to Ron Johnson, Wisconsin Republican U.S. Senator in D.C. She said it all started with a text from the executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Mark, moving on up, Mark Jefferson. Well, it turns out that Mr. Jefferson is moving on down. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, Republican Party of Wisconsin Executive Director Mark Jefferson will step down next month, shaking up the state party's leadership just months before the next presidential election and the party's national convention in Milwaukee. Jefferson, who's responsible for the day-to-day operations of the Wisconsin GOP, plans to leave the top post in early March. He told the Journal Sentinel on Tuesday he will stay in Wisconsin, but, quote, it remains to be seen, unquote, whether he'll continue to work in politics. I'll tell you what's really going on the other side. Have a pretty good hunch. Take your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. We are live from Hayward. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
As a mom and a teacher, I've done it all. Fundraisers, field trips, school assemblies. It's what we do for our children. Whether you're a public school parent, educator, or both, we share one goal, giving our children the best education. The Wisconsin Education Association Council looks forward this school year to partnering with you. Our children's success depends on it. Join us at weac.org. Welcome back to school.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Well, we're moving on.
Moving up. He's moving down. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location in beautiful Hayward, Wisconsin. Keep it going, Mr. Zommers. This is a one of the best theme songs in American television history. The Jeffersons on CBS.
Now we're up in the big leagues.
On down, Jefferson, the executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. We talked about it on this show. He was caught in depositions from the J6 case, the insurrection case, that he was texting between Andrew Hitt, the then chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Jefferson was the executive director. And they were caught on texts. This is what Mark Jefferson said in a text that was revealed in deposition. Quote, freaking Trump idiots want someone to fly original elector papers to the Senate president. They're going to call one of us to tell us just what the hell is going on. Unquote. Andrew Hitt revealed in his 60 Minutes interview with Andrew with Anderson Cooper, he replied back, that's nuts. And this is why I'm telling you, Mark Jefferson is stepping down. Because I think the heat is on. There's one to dial up, Mr. Zommers. The heat is on. Mark Jefferson is feeling the heat. Because here's the thing about, I'm no lawyer, but I worked for a law firm for a while. I know. I stayed at a Holiday Inn, too. But I know the law. I'm not a lawyer, but I know the law. Worked in politics for almost 30 years. The key to staying out of trouble is A, never put anything in writing. That's number one. Number two, in these law cases, you don't want to have something that proves that you understood that what you were doing was wrong or allude to it. And I think that a lot of the 60 Minutes interview with Anderson Cooper on Sunday with Andrew Hitt was along those lines. I think Hitt probably has some very good attorneys. And they're kind of saying, look, go on Anderson Cooper, explain to this, kind of do a little bit of a mea culpa, say you don't agree with Trump, say that you were tricked. If you would have known, you would have understood this, you would have never would have done it. And saying in the text, that's nuts. That's very different than what Mark Jefferson said. Quote, freaking Trump idiots want someone to fly original elector papers to the Senate president. They're going to call one of us to tell us just what the hell is going on. And there was more to it than that. But that implies that Jefferson knew what they were doing was wrong. And by the way, if you're Donald Trump or his campaign manager, Chris LaSavita, you probably don't want the executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, one of, if not the key state in the 2024 presidential election, you probably don't want him calling the presumptive nominee an idiot, or at least his people an idiot. Not a good look. I will also tell you, from being the Republican Party for almost 30 years, that they do not change executive directors in an election year under normal conditions, let alone 5 months away from hosting a national convention in Milwaukee. And certainly not without, you know, I mean, okay, so let's say Jefferson got some, you know, I'm leaving the executive director position because I'm taking a political director role in the Trump campaign. Okay, that one I'll give you, if you truly are moving on up. But no, there's no plans. In fact, he's saying he might not even stay in politics at all. My guess is it's a combination between Jefferson and his attorneys feeling the heat. My guess is federal prosecutors are asking a lot of people, and maybe, hopefully, knock on wood, next to me here, Hayward, my stack of wood. Hopefully, Attorney General of Wisconsin Josh Call is also doing some investigating. And either indictments or charges are about to be filed, or they feel they could be. Or a combination of the Trump people saying, look, we do not want someone leading the party on a daily basis who's calling our staff idiots. Remember Brian Schimming, the state Republican Party chairman? I don't want to call it completely ceremonial, but a lot of the actual chairman part of a party, at least on the Republican side, you go around and give speeches. You go to the district, congressional district caucuses. You kind of cheerlead. You also work on raising money around the state and nationally. And overall, you're kind of the face of the party. The actual person that runs the state Republican Party on the day-to-day is the executive director. And this was Jefferson's second stint in that. And the fact that he's just packing up and leaving, very interesting. Now, Mark Jefferson grew up on a farm in central Wisconsin, Adams County, according to the Journal Sentinel story today. Jefferson, quote, as someone who grew up on a farm in central Wisconsin, Adams County, I think I identify a lot with folks who feel disaffected by a lot of what they see. I think institutions do need an overhaul, but here's the key line. I certainly would not go all and do all the places, perhaps, that Trump has gone, but I do get the need to shake things up. He added, would I have done all the things he did, meaning Trump? No. But these are the times we're in. I've heard this before from other Republicans off the record. That's crazy, but you know, these are the times we're in. No, it's not these are the times we're in. There is a right and a wrong. In politics, you can fudge things up a little bit, as they say. But there is a right and a wrong. Mark Jefferson and Andrew Hitt were not forced to stay in the Republican Party of Wisconsin. They chose to. And they chose to participate in the January 6th attempt to overturn the election with the fake ballots. By the way, after all this, and according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, Mark Jefferson said he'll support the Republican nominee for president in 2024, but said until the nomination is solidified, quote, the party has an obligation to allow everybody in the race to have an equal chance. At least Andrew Hitt is on the record as saying he feels the same way as former Republican Speaker Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, a never again Trumper. But Mark Jefferson, not so much. He's leaving the Republican Party, Mark Jefferson is. He's moving on down. Because the heat is on. The heat is on in Hayward, Wisconsin, too. But the Birkenbeiner is still going on. More from Hayward on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's hour three of the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
Thursday on Matt Nair On Air, Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us for a public service announcement. Then we talk sports with Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe. Hope you'll join us.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Allbaum, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. James Biden, the brother of President Biden, taking part in a closed-door deposition in the GOP-led House.